Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is our favorite things.
Throwback Thursday. How are you, Rob?
Oh, I'm very tired, and I'll tell you why.
Oh.
Well, I think I might have mentioned this before at some point. I am a huge fan of television theme songs.
Yes, you know a lot of the old television as well.
I do. I thought in high school not having friends and not dating anybody was not going to be productive. And thank God I found out it was, because it gave me a lot of time to read about old television shows and watch a lot of old TV. So who cares if you lose your virginity at 45? You know the entire cast of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Love is all around, not in my bedroom. So,
oh my gosh.
No, so anyway, somebody posted on YouTube last night a TV theme song quiz where they'll play the TV theme song you have to like guess what it is.
Oh, you're in heaven.
I'm like, this is going to be great. The person posted 60.
60?
60 videos. And so I...
Are you the only one who's commented on every single one?
Yeah. So I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
Oh, my God.
Nor did my husband, because for some reason you can't skip ahead. So I'm pretty good. You remember that old game show, Name That Tune?
Yeah.
Like, I can name it in four notes. I can do that with a TV theme song.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, but unfortunately, you can't skip ahead, so you have to listen to the whole theme song. And I just didn't want to sit there, so I sang.
Yeah,
so I sang about 60 TV theme songs.
And then there's Maude.
And then there's Maude. Enterprise and compromise and anything but tranquilizing. Right, old Maude.
Amazing.
Well, that's amazing.
Well, I had that this last month when I was in Houston, and
yes.
I had quite a bit of time on my hand.
Now,
and,
why were you in Houston?
Oh, I was music directing the world premiere of the new Marvelous Wondrettes musical Dream On at
Dream On
Stages Repertory Theater in Houston. Yeah,
that is cool.
A brand new Marvelous Wondrettes show written by Roger Bean.
Can you talk about what some of the songs were in there?
I had a great time discovering this music. The first act is them in the 60s. If you don't know the show, it's basically these four girls from high school that have these reunions, depending on which show of Marvelous Wondrettes you are watching. Like, the first one is they're at prom, and then it's their 10-year reunion. This one being part four, they are 28 and 38. So this is their 10-year reunion, or it's really a retirement party for a teacher. And then the second act is 10 years later,
which is their
20-year reunion. So we did songs from the 60s and then songs from the 70s. The Captain and Tennille music... I'm not even kidding you. I became such fans of Captain and Tennille. Because I would watch these videos of them to get a sense of the style of the music.
Are they Love Will Keep Us Together?
Yes. And then Come In From the Rain, I think that was one. They were, because he would play like on the synthesizer and like this like weird organ and make really funky sounds like, tell me, what am I gonna do? Dun, 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 it's all because of you. I just did it and I can't even sing all of it. But
that's really cool.
Funky songs that are catchy and a little wacky and just... like a lot of fun. Like, it was just, I had a really great time with the 70s music, which I did not think I would.
Still four women, right?
Yeah, all four women. Yep.
Were you on stage?
They're the same characters. No, I set the show. So I taught all the music and I made it all sound good. And then the band was there, a local conductor. And so I would run the Zitz probe and just make sure that all of the music department was
spot
on.
Oh, my. How long were you down in Texas for?
Was there 5 weeks total? Maybe 6 weeks?
Was that your first time down at the theater?
That was my first time working at that theater. I've been in Houston on tour before, but that was the main touring house.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a good time. But I had lots of time on my hands.
You had lots of time.
No. And so what I also would do to occupy my time, because of you, I would watch Paul Lynn videos. But I would get in these rabbit holes. You should see Rob's face right now. He's just pure joy. But I would get in this rabbit hole where I couldn't stop watching. I'd watch this documentary. Then I watched about Jack Cassidy, because, you know, they're all
same. Jack Cassidy.
Oh, I love Jack Cassidy, but these kind of sad, brilliantly funny people and brilliantly talented, but just because of the time, you know, like Paul Lynde could not live the life that he wanted to live, you know, and he was completely repressed.
Oh,
and
is
yet
it? Yeah.
He was like flamboyant towards the end, but no, it was like the worst kept secret in Hollywood that he was gay.
Oh,
and it was
yeah.
like he wasn't, you know, that.
And they both, him and Jack Cassidy, had such sad ends to their lives.
Such tragic.
Jack Cassidy died in a fire?
Literally in bed.
He was smoking, right?
In his cigarette.
And then for Paul Lynde, he had a massive heart attack.
Yes.
At a really young age.
Yes. And it was, well, yeah. And
during, was, allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, he was not
there
alone.
There may have been poppers and
somebody
other
who
things.
Was supposed to help, could have helped
yes,
him and
that's exactly
chose
right.
not
allegedly.
To help. Allegedly. So.
But it's just tragic all the way around. But what's not tragic, usually, is watching his quips. Like, you know,
on
like
Hollywood
Squares and like any other shows I could catch with him on. I mean, just
speaking of
so funny.
Rabbit, did you ever see a movie? It's online called Rabbit Test with
no.
Paul Lynde. It's the only movie Joan Rivers ever directed.
She directed it.
And the
it.
Movie is about Billy Crystal, who becomes the first man to ever get pregnant. And his gynecologist is Paul Lynde. And
that's
the first
got
scene.
Wrong written all over
it's
it.
It's Paul Lynde. Holding up a semen sample
no.
in a jar, and
no.
he spills it all over his desk.
Oh, my God. He's like, oh, my God.
I spilled the semen. It's very funny. It just type it on YouTube, Paul Lynde Rabbit
okay.
Test.
Okay.
You know what I want you to do if you really like Paul Lynde?
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that you do. If you watch on YouTube, there are three versions of Kids, his big song from,
oh, yeah.
you know, Bye Bye Birdie. The one in the musical from 1960 is very conservative and very traditional. And he's very like, he's playing a character. Kids, what's the matter with kids today? Very square, right? Then if you watch the movie, he's a little campier. Kids. How are we going to beat the Russians? Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Then there's one from the 1971 Tony Awards where he is like camped out of his mind. And it is
really?
Like one-dimensional cartoony.
So you see the progression that
you see.
It goes
you
from like,
see it going. I actually think you see it going downhill. You see it from
a real
oh,
dad
really, when it becomes a real dad. And it's about the words to like right. how we gotta beat the Russians. Like just like full voice screaming, sweating, perspiring,
right.
And it's something. So watch those three in
all
order.
Right. Three versions.
Well, I'm so happy you did that. And I have to tell you, Kevin, ever since you introduced me to Lucretia Campbell. Miss Campbell has been on my TV screen.
There's another clip that I want to explore someday. Maybe
what?
You guys have seen it, but there's another one that she does where she's singing to her co-person, their co-star, a female, and she like has to. It's another great. I'll save it. That'll be another favorite thing. Or maybe we'll just pause and watch that after this.
I have never laughed so hard in my life when she does that. Make me. Shape me
when she's feeling the Holy Spirit, but she's
in that
feeling
velvet
it
dress.
Just like a little too sexually. Like it's like,
oh yeah, you're like,
it's like,
oh,
where do you feel him?
Where do you feel him, and why?
Yeah, and do you have to rub your boobs when you do it?
Apparently, she's feeling the Spirit. See, my favorite is when she goes to the oven.
Yes,
and she picks up that lid.
I'm not
going to
cook
second.
No more.
And I don't think she was expecting to pick it up because she's like, I don't know what I'm
this
doing.
Prop?
With this prop.
This is real.
And then she puts it back down.
Wait, we got a stove here?
Because in rehearsal they just mimed everything. Couldn't get everything for her. Prop guy was kind of busy. He was doing How Green
Was
My Valley.
And the whistle tones.
And the whistle tones. She is special.
But she's got a killer voice.
Oh, her voice is it's a majestic, wonderful, beautiful instrument.
Agreed.
I agree with you 110%. So this is what we do with our time.
Yes,
Paul Lynde,
is.
Lucretia
yes,
Campbell,
is,
and
friend.
Learning TV theme songs.
We'll give you more soon.
How come I don't come to Houston with you? I could have been one of the Wonderettes.
I know.
I could have been Dee Dee or Sally or whatever her name is.
Cindy Lou.
I could have been Cindy Lou. She's the one
that
gets pregnant.
Cindy Lou. Yeah.
Doesn't one of them get pregnant?
Yeah,
and
then the
one of the
one.
Earlier versions,
yeah,
right?
One of
them
the
gets
version.
Pregnant.
Yeah.
Cindy Lou,
Susie has children too.
Oh, Susie!
Yeah.
Oh, Susie and
Not
Cindy Lou.
Cindy Lou's the cool one. She's like the popular
I be
one.
Cindy Lou.
Well, you know, you could act.
Could I be the gym teacher?
Oh,
I'm adding a character.
Oh, okay, yeah, Gene.
Yeah. Gene.
Pat.
Pat, the gym teacher. They were originally going to get Lois Nettleton for the role, but she was unavailable.
I don't even know. All right, know,
so, sorry. Sorry. It's been a long day.
It's been a
I'm
long
tired
day.
It's been a long day. So it's TV theme songs.
All right.
All right. So.
So.
Who wants to go first?
You go first.
I go first?
Yeah,
okay.
Bring it.
Get out your denim.
Okay.
Get out your flannel. We're going to the 90s. Come on, kids. Get
oh
out
God.
That grunge music.
I was going to say, best Lower House Goes Public?
No. Can you imagine? Get your AOL dial up.
Oh, man.
Here
Get
we go. You young kids, you don't know what that is.
Oh, God.
1993.
Okay. Oh, God. Tough year.
Tough year. Ooh, tough year.
The early 90s, man.
Early 90s was tough for musical theater. Ooh. 1993, supposed to be this huge, successful musical, was not.
Oh, because that's never happened.
Because usually when they say it's going to be great, it is going to be great. Marvin Hamlisch.
Oh, Goodbye Girl.
Goodbye Girl.
Yeah.
The Goodbye Girl.
Good one. Really good one. Big team. I mean, we're Neil Simon.
So, come on. Dream team. Book by Neil Simon.
Yeah.
Based on his award-winning film from the 70s. David Zippel, off of City of Angels, as the lyricist.
Great.
Marvin Hamlisch, perfection, as the composer.
Yeah.
Directed by Gene Sachs, who's directed like all of Neil Simon's plays.
Yeah.
And your cast.
Oh, yeah. Who's in the cast?
Oh, it's just going to be Bernadette Peters.
Oh, fantastic.
And making his Broadway debut in a musical, Martin Short.
Yeah. Playing a funny guy. I mean, playing the right character for him.
How can we go wrong?
I mean, how could they go wrong?
We went wrong.
They did go wrong.
They went very wrong. For those of you who don't know, The Goodbye Girl was originally and many people consider it to be one of the best romantic comedies ever made. It's from 1977. Film, if you've never seen it. It's Richard Dreyfuss and Marcia Mason.
Oh, yeah.
He is an actor who has come to New York to sublet from his friend's apartment. His friend has neglected to tell him that still living in the apartment is the guy's ex-girlfriend and her child.
Yeah.
So you now have to cohabitate with people you've never met before. It's not at all what they were expecting. And of course, surprise, surprise, Richard Dreyfuss and Marcia Mason end up falling in love with each other, even though they hated each other to begin
Classic.
With.
Classic.
And it's hysterical. And Richard Dreyfuss won the Academy Award. He still holds the record for being the youngest actor ever to win the Academy Award.
Didn't know that.
Youngest male actor.
Wow.
Still holds the record. And the film is hysterical. He's an actor. They put him in Richard III,
He
has to play. They want him to play it as if he were gay. So he's doing this Richard III, which is the funniest thing. The movie, like all romantic comedies, you know what's going to happen. But it's so charming. So, unfortunately, the musical was not as charming. Out of town, they fired Gene Sachs. They fired Neil Simon's director. Neil Simon and this guy had this relationship for 23 years. And Neil Simon just one day up and fires him with no,
explanation
or reasoning. They bring in Michael Kidd. The great choreographer Michael Kidd to direct the show, not choreograph it, because Graziella Danielle is going to choreograph it.
Who actually is
who should have directed it as well, but she didn't.
Wow.
I think they felt she couldn't handle the humor of the situation, which I think is so weird.
Yeah.
The Goodbye Girl has an amazing score. It really does.
Fantastic score.
If you are an actor out there and you are looking for pieces to do, look at The Goodbye Girl.
Yep.
Look at songs like No More.
No More is a great
one. I think I can play this part that Martin Short sings, which is really wonderful. I think the best I Am song, and you know, in musical theater, there's I Want songs where the character expresses what they want, like All I Want is a Room Somewhere. Wouldn't it be lovely?
Right.
But then there are these songs called I Am songs, which is the character sings what is their personality like.
Yeah.
And Martin Short has the best one called Elliot Garfield Grant.
You're living in an Elliot Garfield, an Elliot Garfield Grant.
Yeah. It's an amazing score. So unfortunately, went to Broadway, got horrible reviews, couldn't get ticket sales, and the show just plummeted. My feeling is I think that no matter what you do, it does not replace the memory of that original movie, which is so charming and so brilliant. This one was just a little bit, I think, overblown, a little bit inflated, didn't really have a lot of focus to it. Now, you want to know something really bizarre? They take it to London, not the same cast, but Neil Simon's book, and they throw out all but three songs, right? All new songs. Don Black does the lyrics for all these new songs. And there's a second version of The Goodbye Girl, a revision.
I never knew that.
Yes. Now, most revisions are better than the first.
Right.
This is the only revision in history where it gets worse than
the first.
You
think you can do better than Marvin Hamlisch? Like,
they cut all of Bernadette Peters' songs.
Come on.
They cut all of Bernadette Peters' songs. So you have a heroine up there who's not really singing anything. There was a rumor a couple of years ago that for a concert, Norbert Leo Butz and Kate Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
Kate Baldwin. We're going to do it in concert.
I like that.
And that would have been brilliant, and that would have been genius, and they didn't do it. So if you're looking for a great show, go to The Goodbye Girl. If you want to see how charming it is, because I think it's really charming, there's a clip on YouTube of Martin Short and Bernadette Peters singing a love song together called Paula, where he improvises a love song to her on the spot. It's so wonderful. It's so charming. There was a rumor a few years ago they were going to reunite and do I Do, I Do together.
Oh, my gosh.
And that fell through, unfortunately. But I would love to see them both back on stage together. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
So that's mine. It's The Goodbye Girl. Oh, it's so really funny. It's charming. Theaters, if you're looking for something fun to do, please, please take a look at The Goodbye Girl.
Simon.
Come on, Neil Simon, Marvin Hamlisch, David Zippel. What more could you want? All right, Kevin, what's yours?
All right, you're going to get mine right away because this is a famous,
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Famous flop or lesser known musical. So this musical premiered out of town in Boston in 1971. I don't know why I'm using that accent all of a sudden, but it kind of makes sense when you get to
Pretty
know
Belle?
What this. Yes, right off the bat, I knew you'd get it.
Oh my God,
Pretty Belle.
Pretty Belle.
Now, is anyone out there like Pretty what? So let me just tell you what another show. It's like we plan this, and I swear to you that we don't do this, you guys. But this is another show where the names of it are like, how could this not have worked until you hear the subject matter? But
I'm obsessed with this show, by
you've
the
got,
way.
Oh, good. Then we have a nice chat. You've got Julie Stein, everyone we know, from Gypsy, or Bells Are Ringing, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. He's collaborating with Bob Merrill, who they'd already collaborated together on Funny Girl, so that worked. Also, Bob Merrill worked on Hello Dolly, or he wrote the music to Carnival. This man wrote book, music, and lyrics at all different times in his life. You've got the lead, Angela Lansbury. So, like, basically you got Mame herself playing this. Alexander Cohen, once again, is producing, the same guy who did Time for Singing we talked about last week. It should have... Go ahead, yeah.
And Gower Champion.
Oh, and Gower Champion, because, well, Gene Sachs was offered it and passed it.
Really?
Yeah. And so then Gower Champion took over, and again, going off what you talked about the other day about how, you know, he was trying to make this name for himself, he wanted it to be no glitz, no glamour, small scale, intimate musical. Now, I think it's time to talk about what this show is about. So what the book is originally based on is Pretty Belle. The now, subtitle is... Go.
Just really quickly, please remember, this is 1971.
71, right out of the 60s. Like,
even
straight
today
up,
when you hear this, you're kind of
like yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Here you go, you guys. Ready? So the title is Pretty Belle, The Lively Tale of Rape and Resurrection. Because those are two R words that usually go in the same sentence together. So what happened in this great musical? So Angela is playing a Southern Belle, Pretty Belle, and it's a memory place. So she's starts with writing. She's in an insane asylum. She's a schizophrenic, delusional, crazy person, and she's writing a memoir about her life, which, come to find out, this is her therapy. So it's got like a meta-fictional feeling to it, since like this is her life story, but that's like her fiction, so it works, whatever.
It's like the last season of Roseanne, if you remember the last season of Roseanne, where you found out she...
Totally.
And that theme song goes...
That was really good. And and Rob even put his hand up to do the harmonica. It was cool. So you're dying to know what this is about. So yes, she's in an insane asylum. She's looking back on her life. She realizes that her first husband was this bigoted jerk from the South who was just an awful human being. This takes place in the 60s. She's writing in the 60s. That's right. But years earlier, she realizes that he's just a horrible human being, that he'd been wrong to so many cultural groups in the South.
He was a sheriff, wasn't he? Wasn't he
the sheriff.
And he arrests people based on their skin color.
Yeah. So it's kind of
like a racist pig.
Yeah, totally. She realizes after he dies that she needs to atone for his ways. Now, here's where the musical diverges from usually what we would see in a musical, because Angela decides that, or Pretty Bill decides that she's going to not only write checks to the NAACP to atone, but she's going to offer her body to minority groups to rape and defile. It's called therapeutic rape. However, as one of our book writers wrote in one of our books that we read from musical theater, I think it was Not Since Carrie, that she actually isn't raped because she enjoys it too much. So yep. Like she has like a garden house, like a house guy that helps her and otherwise. So yeah, that is basically the plot. Can you add? I mean, like it's. There's a turn at the end. She ends up having to escape. She goes to the insane asylum. She writes her books, her novels, her memoirs, in order to have therapy. Now, is that dark, people? I don't know.
It is 2016. We have heard and seen some of the craziest, most offensive things in musical theater and in movies.
Last year with American Psycho.
And even today when you hear the plot of Pretty Belle,
you're like, what? Like, wait, so let me get this right. There's actually a song where it's called I Never Did Imagine, which is basically a rape anthem, being like, I never thought I could have such fun by getting raped all the time. Yeah. And yet you're tapping your toe and you're like, hey.
It is.
It's Angela Lansbury. This is catchy.
This is Angela. Think of the people behind this.
I know. Julie Stein.
And like, Bob Merrill.
There's a song, When I'm Drunk, I'm Beautiful.
See, I like that song.
It's a great song.
Which I think is a really great song.
How Could I Know? I Met a Man is the classic. If you want to see here, Angela Lansbury belt a pop tune. So also what fascinates me with this album. So it was recorded, you guys, 10 years after the fact. If you listen to our Bruce Yucko interview, he talks about it. He was a record producer for original cast albums. So 10 years later, they got the money together and they got a lot of the people from the original cast and they recorded it. They recorded all the tunes. So we do have a record of what this was, albeit 11 years after the fact, but we still get to have a little capsule of what this show was. I'm fascinated with Julie Stein and a lot of these writers from like 50s, 60s, 70s, and Julie Stein right up to Red Shoes in the 90s. His voice did change based on his collaborator. And I've mentioned this before, like when you see him working with Sondheim on Gypsy, you're like, you know that Sondheim had an effect on him and got him to write in a certain way. Well, I think same thing with Bob Merrill. Like his tunes have a little more pop sound to it. The orchestration is a little more like folky. It's got almost like a bluegrass country feel to it. Definitely like a toe dipped in the pop world, especially with that like I met a man.
Yeah.
Like it's like it makes you feel uncomfortable, but it also is kind of good. So you don't know what to make of this album, but you know that you like the music, even if it's a dark, messed up, weird show.
I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. Some of the reviewers at the time were like, this is some of the best work Angela Lansbury has ever done, period, on stage.
Well, I think Bruce was telling us that when they approached her about recording Pretty Belle 10 years later, that she had said, this was my favorite score.
Yeah.
And now at that point, she had done Gypsy and Sweeney, and Anyone Can Whistle and Maine. She had all these shows
under
her belt.
She had a lot to pick from.
And she was like, this was my favorite.
Like, this was the one that got away?
That's amazing to me. I'm wondering if it was done today in a new version, if people would accept it or people would be like, even more now today, this thing kind of fly.
It would really have to be a strong stake in the sand on how you went about it. Do you go really minimal? Do you just make it about the story? Do you make it campy and silly and stupid? I mean, like, but you can't because you're dealing with real, these are issues that are still important today. You know, Southern racism, you know.
Southern racism, corrupt police.
Yeah.
A woman who is saying that not only can you rape her, but that she enjoys the act of being raped.
Right, and that's retribution for the...
And this is retribution.
Yeah, like, here you go, boys.
This is how we will atone for our sins.
Yeah.
This is... I don't even know what word to use to describe this.
They thought... And mind you, like, Follies opened around the corner in Boston at the exact same time period. So Follies is putting up a dark story that's completely different. This still had your like campy, not campy, but your song tunes. Like there's a musical comedy feel to this.
So why didn't it come to New York?
Lansbury supposedly said, she's like, I'm not moving with this to New York, Alex Cohen, the producer, if you can't fix this show. Well, they couldn't fix the show. So he closed it out of town, flat up. She wouldn't. They knew that it was. They knew that it was, and I don't know if, but I know that she said that she, if it wasn't fixed, she wasn't going to go with it to Broadway. Who knows what happened? What was in the room where it happened, and all that. But I'm sure that it had something to do with the direction, Alex Cohen, and all these big personalities. I mean, like, you know, we've worked on shows with big names, and it's there's a lot of egos in the room, and I don't know. I would love to know. I would love to chat with Lansbury about that and find out.
When you were doing Night Music with her, did you ever get the chance to ask her?
No, because I didn't know about Pretty Belle back then. I knew about Dear World. I would talk to her about Dear World. She loved Dear World, except the title song. She's always like, ugh, that title song had to go. Which is funny, because I feel like someone else said the exact, like Larry Moore, someone said the same thing.
The title song
has
to go.
Yeah, the title song is like weird. Like, but no, I never talked about Pretty Belle. I'm so bummed.
We should hit her up and say, do you
want to
come?
I know.
Maybe she'd like chill with us at IHOP and talk about Pretty Belle.
Totally. Some dark musicals.
Cool.
Yeah.
She's cool. Actually, I don't. You know why I don't want to meet her? I have a feeling that if I meet her, I'm going to get arrested for murdering somebody. Because everybody she meets on Murder, She Wrote, they always end up getting arrested for murdering someone. So many
that
deaths.
Small little main town.
And so many nieces and nephews that she had that were always getting arrested.
She was touring. She was all over the place in Los Angeles.
No matter where she was, she's like, oh, there's my nephew, Fred. Oh, he's getting arrested.
With that sweet American accent. Oh. But that show is comforting to me. I like watching it at late at night.
Murder, She Wrote, yeah. Not Pretty Belle.
No, not Pretty Belle.
So, Goodbye Girl.
Yeah, and Pretty Belle.
And both are available on CD.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Amazing. All right, till next time.
Happy listening.
Happy listening.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.